At National University, you don't just get a degree in teaching. You get a degree in...
teaching me how to make a robot operate.
Helping me get a standing ovation.
Making me want to come back tomorrow.
Jana Owen. Helping us all leave our mark.
We know it's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Help guide the next generation with a bachelor's in elementary education. Learn more at nu.edu. National University. For the greater.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Welcome back, everyone, to our show. What a topic we are starting today, mindfulness and big business. Can they coexist? This practice is sweeping big business around the globe. And little by little, no one's talking about it, but it's happening. Today, welcome to the show, my co-host Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how's it going?
Things are fantastic as always, Daniel. Thank you, my friend. It sounds like you're doing well.
Things are good, you know, and, you know, the business that we're in today, the core of what makes our string let out on our kite is this idea of some level of spirituality. You can call it mindfulness. You can call it meditation. It's all pathways to higher levels of enlightenment. What really gets me excited, if you can tell, is that there's a surge of companies, and I'm not talking about small companies. I'm talking about big companies that are playing with the idea of these mindfulness practices to help their employees, their associates, their managers, CEOs and C-suite level folks get more present within the workplace for what? At the end of the day, to drive profits. Why does that drive profits? I mean, isn't that amazing, Johnny, that you and I talked about this almost a year ago, and we've been doing this now for almost a year, believe it or not, this show, and every day I get news that another company, a Mercedes-Benz, a BNY Mellon Bank, I mean, these big companies that are out there really looking at this seriously.
Well, you know what's interesting, Daniel? I think you're dead on here. You know, and you and I had a conversation about a major, major organization just this morning about who's really starting to engage in the work. What I think's compelling about it, and at the same time, just remind us that we're so much in the infant stages of this whole dialogue, is that
yes.
In some big companies, it's still the best kept secret. Like there's
yep.
organizations out there that you'll have dialogue with them, and they'll say, you know, once you start doing the digging, they'll say, boy, we'd love to have you engage with us, work with us, and only to find out later, like, oh, my gosh, you realize we actually have a department that has been doing taking on some initiatives like that, et cetera, then they connect you with those folks that are trying to do that work. I think there's another part of this, too, which is really, really interesting. And although we can't share the name of the company you and I were having a conversation about, it goes without saying, I can tell you that it's an organization of a very strong reputation, very strong brand presence, and very positive in terms of customer and just societal perception. But what I think is amazing about it is what so many people forget is the courage that it takes to have this conversation in any organization.
Mm.
And take it back a step further. It's not only the courage in a big organization, it's the courage to do it as a one-off. So take ourselves, for example. Daniel, you know, this conversation, depending on where you go in any circle, forget business for a moment, in certain circles in society, all of a sudden it becomes less about mindfulness and more about semantics. Okay, are you using the language of spirituality? Is it oneness? Are you talking diversity? Where there's still folks trying to almost pigeonhole it into a place so they can define it, and then all of a sudden put it in its you know, nice little spot where they can have a comfortable conversation. The challenge with that, in my mind, is that you have people that are very head-based, right? Analytical, facts-driven, financial, et cetera, and God bless them, we got to have them. You have folks that are very heart-based, and then you have folks, a very small genre of the group that are both. And for individuals,
very small.
They're very, very small. Right? And it goes back to the old saying. You know, we used to talk about that. You know, you ride a Harley. It's a famous saying. They talk about, you know, for those who do not believe, no explanation will do. And those who believe, no explanation is needed. And if you are a heart-based human being or leader in any organization today, and you are not in, let's just say, the majority, which in most cases you're not going to be in the majority, it can be extremely discouraging. And I'm not even talking about just discouraging at work. If your spouse, your best friend, your siblings, your parents, I don't care what circle it is, if they are not like-minded from that standpoint, when you're out either starting your own business, whether you run a department that you're trying to introduce different initiatives to, in support of, you know, conscious organizations, mindfulness, however you want to, whatever, you know, language you want to use to describe it, it can be very frustrating. It can be very discouraging. It can be all of those things, and we see it consistently, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to go back a few steps because I want to define something for our listeners, and you may agree or disagree, and I've had a conversation with several people in this area. Some have agreed, some have disagreed, and some have chosen to plead the fifth. And that is, one of the questions that was presented to me while I was in New York back a few weeks ago was, what's beyond diversity? Now, I want to make something really clear here. My conversations and our conversations over the last few months with big companies, big brand companies, has been what's beyond diversity. And even though they're not talking about it publicly, I think on a private basis they're understanding a disconnect of what diversity has done and what it has not done. So I just want to jump in there real quick and just kind of throw something into the pot here for us to discuss. Number one, diversity came about to find some, I think, is an initial initiative was to find equality within the hiring practices of all these big companies to eventually get a more diverse board of directors in place that looked like the people that were shopping that were shopping with that company or that were buying from that company, and also in diversity in their procurement practices, which then made sure that they were disseminating the amount of business they were giving to different types of individuals or types of cultures to make sure that they were being inclusive, okay? So that worked. Within that structure, that filtered into the corporate structure, and out of that was born the ERG groups or resource employee groups or infinity groups. They're called all kinds of things. My opinion is that when it came to diversity hiring and it came to diversity procurement, it was an excellent tool. But when it came to diversity on the inside, it was counterproductive, even to the point where today, Johnny, you know, that people are feeling reverse discrimination. So you have African Americans, Latinos, Asians, the LGBT group, you name it, all have their own groups and their own mission statements, and that does not create the kind of cohesiveness to create the type of productivity as an individual rather than separating. So the reason I bring this up, because I want to come around full circle, that right now companies are looking at what's beyond diversity. Well, beyond diversity really is oneness. Oneness from a corporate perspective where people are actually, man, imagine this. I mean, it's nothing new that they're actually working together rather than looking at their differences or their diverse ways of being from a cultural or religious background. So you take all that. You take that mindfulness, yoga, meditation, which companies are engaging in, are just the beginning, the tipping point. I mean, not the tipping point, the tip of the iceberg of really understanding true self-awareness. Now, what's happening now is that companies are realizing that diversity in the workplace with these resource groups has separated everyone rather than bringing them together. When you practice mindfulness and you practice all these different aspects of enlightenment, it is natural for a person to seek out community, like-minded people, not based on color, not based on ethnicity, not based on religious background, based on community, people that are like me, that are mindful, that are coming from a space, as I've often said on this show, that Buddha and Jesus came from compassion, love, and understanding. Then from that community is formed this idea of mission or the support of mission, which creates oneness. Oneness cannot be reached without individual self-awareness. And the reason I bring this up is because there's a huge, I think a big movement, Johnny. You and I have talked about this almost every day. This huge movement of trying to get companies more profitable, and they become more profitable when everyone is playing in the sandbox together, right? And they're being, I mean, the stats are showing, the Gallup poll reveals that only 13% of the global employees are engaged at work. Think about that. 63% are not engaged and lack motivation, period, or any kind. And 24% are unengaged, unhappy, unproductive, absolutely spreading negativity. That's what we're talking about, and what I think we're going to tackle over the next few weeks when we talk about mindfulness is what is, you know, and I just kind of took a brushstroke about kind of how I think things are folding out. And so, the name of the show was Mindfulness and Big Business. Do they coexist? I think they have to. Don't you, Johnny?
Well, I don't think it's an option. I think the reality is this. It's not do they coexist. It's can big business even think for a moment they can exist without it? And it's interesting because it's difficult. And I think about, and I can think a handful of conversations I've had just this week. And I said this over and over. I am probably the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Beautiful children, just wonderful family. I'm just blessed. And when I think about part of that blessing is I get to interact and engage with some of the most beautiful people on the planet. And when I say beautiful, I'm not necessarily talking physically attractive, although what do you say? And I'm not.
You're gonna paint yourself into a corner, Johnny.
I'm not saying any of these people are ugly either, so I want to be clear about that. But my point is this. You engage with people who are very, very heartfelt, very conscientious, very loving, very giving, all of those things that you would hope your own children would grow up and be like. And what's consistent amongst almost all of them is it seems they're struggling to find a place where they can really flourish and prosper, whether it's in their own homes, whether it's in the companies they work for, or support. You know, I read the new survey out, percent of all Americans no dislike. They hate their job. Now, that's a pretty strong
word. That's a big, yeah.
50%. And when you think about it, it's difficult to pursue your passions when those closest to you either openly discourage you or else create an environment. And this is where we were going back when you were mentioning diversity earlier. And this is why I like the language of oneness. Is when diversity works, it's when all those like-minded, however very unique human beings are allowed to bring the best version of themselves to work. It doesn't matter what their walks of life are, religion, ethnicity, sexual preference, et cetera, or where in the world they're from. It's when you bring all of that together is where the beauty really comes out. And you have to be able to place yourself in an environment that allows you to do that. And big businesses today, this is while they're struggling. It's very easy to say, I am going to implement a new payroll system, and based on all the analytics and everything we've done, the ROI, or the return on investment, is going to be X percent. I am going to reduce the inventory my company carries by X number of millions of dollars, and it will have XYZ impact on SG&A. Those things are real easy. And in large, small, medium-sized organizations, those are the tangibles, right? What the things that are they believe are less tangible are all those softer, those human elements. And what's fascinating is those human elements, when you allow them into the organization and you allow language like love, you know, to circulate within your company, no matter how what size it is, what you find is the exponential return. When you allow people to bring their full selves to work, is far more significant than you're going to get with any quote unquote initiative, because initiatives have their shelf life. They go out. They're going to continue to evolve, and you're going to have to continue to invest financially in all of them for it to evolve. The neat thing about people, although there's some financial investment, if you truly genuinely care and you foster an environment of love, caring, truly, genuinely deep listening and wanting to know things about their children, you know, their spouses, their history, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the type of environments people want to hang out in nowadays. And we talk about it almost every show. Look at the millennials. They seen something on the news about it. I think it was last night. You know, these companies who think that, well, you know what, we're not going to do things like offer flexible scheduling, or we're not going to do things like offer, you know, difference in benefits for maternity leave and all those other things. I'm sorry, your days are numbered. Because the reality, the great thinkers of tomorrow, they're out there looking for jobs, and if you're not going to offer them the type of environment they can really prosper in, they're going to work for you. They're going to go work
yep.
for whoever it is that's going to put you out of business, right?
Yep, that's true. So, folks, we want you to call in and join in on this conversation, 347-677-1965. We actually have a caller. It looks from a 612 area code. I'm going to bring you on in just a moment. I want to add, because I know some of you out there are going, holy moly, what are these two? What have they done? They're in white robes and floating above the Pacific in California. So let me give you some hardcore facts. And this came from the Huffington Post, from Aetna Insurance, one of the biggest insurance companies in the United States. The CEO, Mark Bernardini, made yoga available to all of his U.S. employees and supports state and federal coverage of yoga and mind-body therapies. What did they find? That workers with high stress cost them $2,000 per year. Now, how many employees do they have? A bunch. Think about how much money that is. They created an initiative to promote yoga and meditation and reduce their health benefit cost by 7%. Now, I don't have the numbers, but I promise you these are big numbers. What happened after that? That an extra 69 minutes of productivity was seen by every person that participated in these types of modalities. Folks, this is not just pie in the sky, kumbaya stuff that we used to look at and not engage in. This is what is needed. I mean, 83% of the marketplace is stressed out of their mind, and Johnny brought up, you know, they hate their job. They don't just like it. They hate it. Johnny, let's bring in this caller. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to unmute you and let you jump into the conversation. You're live.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Johnny. My name's
Hello.
David.
Hey, David.
Johnny, I always like talking to you, have real lively conversations. Just wanted to throw a couple things in the mix here, guys. It's obviously already a multidimensional conversation, but just another dimension or two. One is, I don't know if you guys saw that there was an article in Fast Company yesterday on mindfulness. So I guess you know that maybe a topic has arrived. I don't know if it's been in Fortune yet. Maybe it has. But anyway, it was kind of a provocative article, and I think the title of the article was something like, why can't I remember it now? Something along the lines of, has mindfulness, can it be too extensive? Why mindfulness is overrated? And so really what they were getting at, and it's good to get this balance, see, and in fact,
absolutely.
You know, it tells us it's real if we can kind of put things in balance, and they were talking about this balance between mindfulness and mindlessness, and that the brain can't remain fully active, you know, all the time. As a sort of a partly creative person anyway, I can appreciate the notion that, yeah, a lot of times creativity comes from, you know, more that sometimes it comes from a less mindful state, even though I'm all on board with the mindfulness and the focus and I see the benefits. But I think it's interesting to keep that, you know, that perspective in mind. By the way, they also mentioned there's now a book called Mindful Leadership for Dummies. So I guess you know when that your topic has arrived when you've got a dummy.
That's
book
right.
Too.
I love it.
Now, I was going to mention another comment in regard to big business versus, you know, entrepreneurship, if you want to give me another minute. I thought it might expand the conversation a little bit. So, you know, of course, we know that in large enterprise, I love looking at the tension and the sort of the context between large enterprise and small enterprise. And the thing that large enterprise really needs today is they need that which small enterprise can give them, which is innovation and creativity. They've got scale down. They've got linearity down, distribution channels, all that good stuff. They need that, you know, the R&D, the innovation, the new product development. And so I think some of the, you know, if we think about, well, what's the entrepreneurship context and maybe more broadly into the creativity and innovation context. And I think some of the latest research, it's interesting, and we entrepreneurs, we always get, you know, we always watch this pendulum swing back and forth. We're hearing focus, you know, on one hand, and that's been sort of the chime for a while, and now the entrepreneurship literature is starting to swing towards actually for an entrepreneur to have a little more sort of broad mind and think about different things and have a diverse network and you know, employ their mental faculties in different directions actually helps them overcome problems more than this and obstacles more than this single-minded focus on, you know, drilling through the wall. And so, I think it's something interesting to think about is, like, you know, there is a connection between focus and mindfulness, and, you know, we've been sort of focused on the notion of focus. And how does that piece fit with a more entrepreneurial approach to, you know, to large enterprise if, in fact, there's this, again, this balance between focused thinking but also maybe more undirected thinking. One last point that might be relevant I thought I'd throw in the mix, and then you guys can cut me off, is in the creativity literature as well. Again, there's been this tension, this mindset between what's called quantity and quantity. What produces ultimately the most good ideas? Is it lots and lots, high volume of ideas, or is it just a few good ideas? And a little more recently, the mindset has been quantity, quantity, quantity. Produce lots of ideas, and then out of that lots of ideas will come, some good ideas. But the current thinking is really now switching more toward, again, what would be more of a kind of a focused model, which is, actually, the best ideas come from focusing and producing a few very original ideas. So I guess it's just interesting to think about how do all these things connect, you know, mindfulness, entrepreneurship, yes, creativity. And then, of course, we've got the dichotomy in both cases and the pendulum swinging back and forth. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that stuff in the mix. Any interest or thought from your side, Daniel or John?
Yeah, you bet. Well, before we move on, and we have about 7 minutes left in the show, but for those of you that are interested in the article that he was talking about, it's fastcompany.com, The Future of Work, What Our Current Obsession with Mindfulness Really Means. That is the name of the article. You can pull it up, Google it. It'll take you right there. I obviously haven't had a chance to read it, but I look forward to reading it because I do agree with you. There needs to be some balance. I do want to throw something a little bit in the mix, and we talked a little bit about this before you came on, and I'm glad I saw this article, and I can't wait to digest it. Mindfulness, meditation, yoga, these types of ways of getting one present and still, folks, is really the tip of the iceberg into understanding self-awareness. Self-awareness is a much deeper pathway and journey. It is a life journey that can create great results, not just in health benefits and wellness, but also in creating the kind of productive results that I think some of these companies are looking for. So there's always going to be people out there, like in this article, and I haven't read it, so I can't speak to it directly, that might say, well, you know, is this flavor of the month? Which is, by the way, what I said on the show. Is this going to be a flavor of the month thing that goes away? Well, in my opinion, I think that if it's flavor of the month, let's hope it's flavor of the next 5 or 10 years, and then it can go away. Because one thing I do know about mindfulness, and I know about spirituality, once you get it, you can't let go. This is not something you're going to, you know. Johnny, you remember when we had to read that book, Leading Like a Buffalo? Right? Come on, we've read all kinds of crazy things. So thank you for your feedback. Johnny, you have any comments on his dialogue?
I do, and actually what we need to do is bring David in for an entire show.
Oh, we do.
I mean, he literally
I'd love to.
He literally said about an hour's worth of information.
He did. Yeah, he gave us a lot.
I got a little carried away.
It's all right.
No,
we love it.
Fantastic. Absolutely. No, but I think one of the things that would if I were to paraphrase, I think one of the things I heard and what I think back about is, regardless of your perspective on, you know, where you're at and call it the mindfulness spectrum, I would tell you that first of all, keep in mind that every single one of us is a miracle. Regardless of who, what is your higher power, every one of us is a miracle. And the gifts that we've been given were not given to us to misuse or throw away. And especially when they're grounded in giving, understanding, patience, consolation. And I would tell you that it's when everyone shows up with the gifts that they've been provided and that they can deliver as well, if not better than anyone else, that's when we're our best. And to me, that's the balance behind all of it. I think right now, I think once mindfulness is overboard and it exists in every organization to nth degree, I think we can have the dialogue about is there too much of it in the organization. I would challenge today, I think that, you know what, we've got to work a little bit harder in making sure people feel like they're being heard, that they truly matter, and that we're doing a little bit more in the space of self-awareness. So, David, thanks for calling. I think that was just absolutely perfect, and I've already written down your information here, so we're going to be getting back in touch with you to probably bring you on for another show to give you some more time, because I love your perspective.
Yeah, and I think I'd love to tackle that whole idea of mindfulness, and God, it's perfect, versus mindless, because that's not what we're talking about here, and that's a big scare, like all of a sudden, I mean, we're already here in California, I'm out here in California, you know, you could probably say that the rest of the United States thinks that we're pretty mindless out here, you know, just based because we're just so free and open about the way we live life, but it is important that we discuss that, very much so. Anything you want to say in closing, David and Johnny, before we wrap it up? We've got about 3 minutes.
I was just going to add to what Johnny said, and Johnny, I agree that, you know, mindfulness probably hasn't gone too far in terms of its organizational scope. There's probably a lot, you know, a lot more to go. I thought, you know, the article, the interesting balance was just, per individual and per kind of unit time that we need to, you know, that we need to keep mindfulness and less focused strategies kind of in balance. So you can, just like any tactic or technique, you can overuse it. So not so much that it's gone too far in the organization, but just how do we use it as a technique, you know, per individual kind of thinking. So good.
Love it.
I would agree. I guess, Daniel, my closing comments would be this. If you're a leader and you're a boss, do some soul searching and ask yourself, are your folks actually being allowed to bring the best version of themselves? And if you can't answer right away, there's the answer. And two, as an employer and entrepreneur, are you delivering the best version of yourself and being allowed to do what you do best out there? And if not, ask yourself some questions as well. So great conversation this week, and thanks so much, Daniel. I'll let you close it up, dude.
Yeah, you bet. Well, listen, David, thank you for calling in. I agree with Johnny. Let's bring you back and let's really dig in one of those million topics you gave us in the short 2 minutes. And let's really dive into some of that stuff because it's really good. Folks, you got to join the conversation, 347-677-1965. We want to hear from you. This is for you, and we're having a great time discussing mindfulness in the workplace. It's going to be a topic for the next few weeks. Call in and let us know what you think, just like David did. And you know what? We want to hear both sides of the fence. If you think it's mindlessness and it's a waste of time, I'd love to hear it. Have a beautiful day. Until next time, we'll see you later.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.
No matter how you say it, it's a great time to awaken the Force. In Tomorrowland, come face to face with some favorite Star Wars characters. and even join in a dogfight between X-Wing and TIE fighters on Hyperspace Mountain. SoCal residents can get 2 days for $149. Visit one park per day. Tap the banner for details as Star Wars Awakens at Disneyland Resort. Subject to blockout dates, restrictions, and change without notice.